You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Suns, Booker, for the win, yes! But 1.5 on the clock.
It was like a movie, that shot, because, you know, that's like the shot Luka hit in the bubble. And I was telling the guys in the locker room, I don't know if I can ever retire because the emotional roller coaster that you go on during the game, like for real, like there's no high like that. The energy, you know, when you're pissed and mad and then to, you know, the joy of winning the game. So it's really nice to get a win like this, that with this group of guys we got.
Chris, you know that's Book coming off the screen. How much confidence do you have when you're delivering that pass that he can knock that down?
All the confidence in the world.
This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and boy, do we have a game to talk about. 109-108 Suns victory, third straight, 11-8, and the return of Devin Booker punctuated by a massive buzzer-beating, well, game-winning, 1.5 seconds left on the shot clock, triple to win this game, put the Suns up 1 point. Luka Doncic does not answer on the other side. We are getting into all of it. I'm your host, Brendan Kleene. If you're tuning in to listen to this recap episode of an incredible back and forth, really awesome, I mean, probably the best game of this season, welcome. I'm your host, Brendan Kleene. You can follow our show on Twitter at LockedOnPHXSuns. You can follow me at BrendanKleene14. I cover this team for Forbes, SB Nation, and I cover the NBA at Dime Magazine and Front Office Sports and Aussie and all over the place. And I'm right here with you every single night after these amazing games. Well, I'm after the bad ones too, but it's way more fun. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Back and forth all night long. And as you heard, Kevin Ray on the call, a beautifully drawn up buzzer-beating shot for Devin Booker. I'm just going to call it that. I keep saying it anyway. It really was. And they went for the three instead of the two to tie. Chris Paul gets the ball on the inbound play, gets the switch on Maxi Kleba. He runs a little bit of a side pick and roll with Mikal Bridges as a decoy. Bridges gets into the lane. Booker runs off of a DeAndre Ayton screen, catches the ball on the right wing, pulls up for three, lands with his legs splayed out. He basically can't make a game-winning shot and land normally. This guy definitely has a flair for the impressive. And as you heard, Chris Paul giving him all the credit in the world. But I wanted to break down the fourth quarter for you guys, how we got to that point. Definitely one of those games where the final little bit was a blur. You saw some missed shots by the Suns. You saw some mistakes by the Mavericks. It felt like Kristaps Porzingis might come out and win this thing. Game gets tied at 99 after Cam Johnson hits a free throw with 4 minutes and 8 seconds left. We're going, kind of making shots back and forth. Booker hits a massive three, a 27-foot three, a pretty deep one after DeAndre Ayton gets blocked at the rim by Kristaps Porzingis. Then he gets his own offensive rebound, dishes it out to the basically left-wing corner area. Booker makes it that deep three. They go up 102-101, the Suns do. Then Tim Hardaway gets a three of his own. Felt like that might be the nail in the coffin, but Chris Paul comes in, makes a 15-foot pull-up jumper, I believe, over the outstretched hands of Kristaps Porzingis, or after creating separation. Luka gets to the free throw line. Mavs go back up two. Booker hits an 18-foot step back. That one I know was over Kristaps Porzingis. More free throws, though. Mavs go up two again, 108-106, and that sets us up for what ultimately becomes the game-winning shot. Dorian Finney-Smith misses a three in there. The Suns get an offensive rebound again after Porzingis blocks Ayton. They call a timeout. Well, there's the jump ball, first of all. After the block, there's a jump ball where Porzingis gets his hands on it again, and the Suns fortunately get enough of an angle where the ball goes out of bounds off of the Mavs. Suns call a timeout, and then Monty draws up that play, which he did say post-game was an old Chris Paul play. He said from one of Chris's old teams, which nobody clarified. He's been on a lot of teams, but CP3 let us know postgame that is from the Clippers, the Lob City Clippers. It's a play they would run for JJ Redick in those situations. And again, Chris Paul making that pass despite the outstretched arms of Maxi Kleba. Booker catching the ball, making it right in the face of, I believe, Tim Hardaway. Now I'm blanking on who it was. Josh Richardson is probably who it was. And then euphoria, right? 1.5 seconds left. Mavs call a timeout. Luka gets 28-foot three-point shot and misses it. As Chris Paul said, it felt like a movie with Luka getting the ball in basically the same exact place with the same tiny amount of time on the clock as he did in the bubble to beat the Clippers in that playoff series, one of the two that the Mavs stole in that first round bubble battle. But Luka did not make it tonight, and the Suns take this doubleheader from the Mavs and win three straight here. It was just so few days ago we were very sky is falling about this team, yet here we are now 11-8. The Suns coming off an amazing win, getting momentum, and we'll dive into the next segment. The Chris Paul Devin Booker duo is really rounding into form. It seems like Paul took the time with Booker out of the lineup with that hamstring strain to get back to his self, and Booker fit right into that. They combined for 58 points on 23 of 39 shooting, 8 of 15 from 3, and Paul almost has himself a triple-double, 34-9-9. Just an all-around amazing offensive performance from those two, and the defense around them gets it done. DeAndre Ayton with 17 rebounds, 6 on the offensive glass, makes up for some of the mistakes he made, and just a huge, huge win for this team. Something about the Mavs gets these guys going and allows them to build momentum. They beat them on opening night. They beat them in the bubble. They beat them last January or February in a huge win that weekend as well. So here we are. It still feels pretty incredible. Booker was very humble afterward. I couldn't even find a clip to include at the beginning for you guys here, but safe to say this team is feeling good about itself. Booker didn't want to call this a breakout win or them announcing themselves or anything, but I will. I think this is probably, all things considered, the way that they fought back, one of, if not the best win of the entire season, and certainly one of my favorite Devin Booker game winners ever, considering the stakes and the significance of this season and the need to get back on track the way that they did. So I will break down those two in a little bit more detail. But before that, wanted to take a quick break. The Super Bowl is fast approaching, just days away. Prop bets, fun, you know, maybe you want to bet on the game, maybe you want to bet on who the MVP is, all that kind of stuff, not to mention the silly ones like the length of the national anthem or whatever happens at the halftime show now that The Weeknd has spent $7 million of his own dollars. Insane. But right after the Super Bowl, we're still going, guys. Sports are not going anywhere. NBA, NHL, MLB will be starting in just a little bit. College basketball, the tournament, and the Masters not too far away either. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action and don't forget our promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Guys, there's only one place that we trust, and that is betonline.ag. For every betting need that you could possibly have. Prop bets for the Super Bowl, like I said. Futures, awards, there's MVP odds for the NBA, and I believe the MLB already. There's World Series odds that I've run you guys through. Hit those Padres. It's going to be a fun year for them. Maybe you can catch a game and root on your bet as well if you get over to California, if you're a Valley listener. So, like I said, sign up today for that free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Again, do not sit on the sidelines. Promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, 109-108 Suns victory. We are not done here. I wanted to break down the pretty incredible two-way game that this backcourt had and the breakout and the significance of it. You know, I said late, early last week that in a mailbag question about the fit, the pairing, and everything, that we just needed to see it happen in crunch time. They needed to figure out a routine, a set of even actions. It doesn't even need to be set plays because late in these NBA games, nobody's really running complex sets. But we just needed to see those guys figure it out in crunch time in a way where you could feel good that they had it figured out, that it was going to be repeatable. We saw it coincidentally opening night against Dallas, but we just haven't seen it since. Well, today we did. These guys really, like I said, took over completely. Let me just rip through some of these numbers here. The Suns as a team scored 32 points in the fourth quarter. Booker and Paul scored 25 of them. The only other player who took more than one total shot in the fourth quarter besides those two on the Suns roster was DeAndre Ayton. Four shots for him, mostly because he keeps getting kept getting offensive rebounds. He got four offensive rebounds, five total rebounds in the fourth, and he only made one of four shots because Porzingis was stuffing him a couple of different times. But Booker, 6 of 10 from the field for 15 points, 3 of 3 from deep. Chris Paul, 4 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from deep. And they, again, combined for 25 points. Both players play the entire fourth quarter. Monty had a funny quote that after if he had taken Booker out despite the hamstring strain and the rest, it would have been the first time that in NBA history that a player would have knocked out his coach was the way that Monty put it, and I think that's fair to say. They weren't going to bring Booker back into the lineup until he was healthy, but now that he is, I think it would have been pretty widely criticized and definitely a mistake to play Booker out there. And they did say, you know, he didn't look fatigued. He didn't look like he was working too hard. So they all felt it all felt good. And he was out there when it mattered. It did look like the hamstring was bothering him at first, wasn't attacking the rim so much and whatever, but basically didn't matter at the end because his jumper started to fall. He was really going from three, one of his better three-point shooting nights of the season, coincidentally here, 4 of 8, actually taking quite a few and making half is really good news. If that can continue and Chris Paul's three can fall as well, that really just changes the offense. But just insane, 25 of the team's 32 points to go in there and score them. You know, Monty normally in the rotation will have DeAndre Ayton play that early fourth quarter minutes, right? I've praised him so much for the way that Ayton can come in and affect the game at a high level in those early 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter before one or both of those guards checks in. Well, Monty went differently because the Suns went into the fourth quarter down by a little bit. He wanted to juice the offense, so it was Langston Galloway actually who got a lot of run in the fourth quarter. Didn't even take many shots. He was in there to space the floor. He actually made some hustle plays on defense that were pretty impressive, including a loose ball when Paul got almost a jump ball play that Paul got blocked on. He went up for a shot or a pass, kind of lost control, and then I think it was Josh Richardson grabbed on, and it flew around. Galloway gets it. So Galloway kind of, you know, proved Monty right there. The offense definitely opens up, and those two guys go to work. So they play the entire fourth quarter, like I said, and that decision from Monty to really change the rotation in the fourth quarter and go all offense early on there really helped things. Like Cam Johnson plays almost the whole quarter for his spacing. Doesn't really shoot much, but you just saw the impact of Booker and Paul getting to their mid-range shot, making them, and just the overall pace and offensive openness, like I said, was on full display there. So, and it just, I mean, it just goes to show, like I said, it doesn't need to be a set. It was, you know, Booker getting, you know, a lot of broken plays almost where he's getting it late in the clock and going to work, getting that mid-range over Porzingis sort of in the back half of the shot clock. He made that three off of a broken play from the Porzingis block on Ayton that Ayton had to dish back out. He makes the buzzer, the game winner from the right wing with very little time left. That's, you know, not a in-rhythm shot by any means necessarily. And so he just pieced it together. I mean, he had some easy looks as well, but, you know, a lot to be said for that Paul Ayton pick and roll really being the fulcrum, the center point of this offense right now, and you're seeing how everything can flow from it. I think we're going to look back on this stretch as when Booker was out and that hamstring injury was keeping him off the floor, that was the time when this offense, I think, figured some real things out where Paul was able to get his legs under him, make the shot. I asked him about it post-game, and his answer was, well, the game's actually pretty easy, which I guess is an own. I guess I have a you know, I wish that I had something to say back to that. But when Chris Paul tells you that basketball is easy, you don't really have much to say. But I think his point was, like, that stuff, he wasn't sweating. Like, the fact that his shot wasn't coming, the fact that he had some ugly nights, the turnovers were bad some of the time, I think he really wasn't worried about it. And he said that in different ways throughout. He obviously was hard on himself when he needed to be, when it ended up in a loss. But, you know, they felt confident they could figure this thing out. And I think they did during that stretch, and especially that Paul Ayton pick and roll, where you add the mid-range jumper and Paul's legs getting under him the way that they did. He's able to create his own offense within that. He made some threes off of the bounce tonight on top of it. And the shooters around them are, you know, they're still there. They're still valuable, but they were less of the focus of the offense the past couple weeks here. And now you're seeing you add Booker into that, and it's starting to feel and look like a lot of what the offense was last season, where, you know, Booker wouldn't be initiating all that often, but he's getting second side stuff. He's attacking a broken defense. He's really over, even before he got injured, the Denver game that he went out in, that one, and then this one, you really saw him attacking in transition more often, attacking, just feeling comfortable to take it upon himself to go score in the spots we've seen him score in time and again over the past 6 years, and doing it where he's still finding a balance with Chris Paul and not taking away from what Paul does. And I really think the quickness with which they found it was like a light switch, really. Like, they didn't have it for so many games, and they were losing because of it. And then all of a sudden here, that Denver game, this Dallas game, and then a few without Booker, you really just feel this offense come alive. And, you know, I also want to throw in, like, don't be confused by the low point totals. We know this Suns team plays slow, so they're not going to have, you know, 132-point nights like some teams will. I'm looking right now, you know, Charlotte scored 129 in overtime. Milwaukee scored 134. Houston, 136. Like, those teams play fast, and even Sacramento scored 118 tonight. The Suns aren't going to have those, but the offense is really, really working at a high level. Shot almost 50% from the field tonight, 37% from three as a team. And hopefully, you know, they can balance that out, get to the line a little more like they had been without, until Booker came back tonight. The free throws were low again, which is maybe a little bit of an issue to be solved down the line. But I think I almost misspoke when I said they needed to find a set or a series of actions. Like, I really think that they discovered that Paul Ayton pick and roll and how to play out of it. And man, it's that simple sometimes. And you see these games where your two superstars can take you home doing pretty much everything in the fourth quarter. And that's what the Suns saw. The Suns really saw the November trade for Chris Paul come to fruition today with this win. And the momentum, the capacity that they're developing as teammates right now, Booker and Paul, is going to be special. It really feels that way, that we're going to start to see some awesome nights. This is only the beginning of, but let's get into some of the rest of what happened tonight, aside from Booker and Paul, aside from this game winner. We will do that right after this break. I wanted to first tell you guys about Rock Auto. I've complained to you about my car plenty, but I think a lot of you guys relate to me. It's a pain in the butt when you have something go wrong and it's an emergency, like immediately needing to get it figured out. Where do I go? How much is it going to cost? Are these guys going to try to screw me over at the store, at the dealership? It's not worth it. One reason to repair and maintain your car on your own is so that you can save money that you can use for more important things like mortgage or food or even stuff you just like to do, enjoy, entertainment. Why would you choose to spend then 30, 50, even 100% more for the same auto parts at a chain store or car dealership that you could get at rockauto.com? Chain stores have different price tiers for pros versus do-it-yourselfers, and rockauto.com's prices, on the other hand, are the same for everyone and reliably low. Rock Auto always offers the lowest prices possible. They don't change them based on what the market's looking like or what's hot and what's not, supply and demand nonsense. It's just the same for you, for the pros, for whoever goes to the website, and it's really low prices. RockAuto.com is for everybody, also doesn't require a membership. It's a family business, and best of all, you can get anything on it. So that catalog that they have on there, unique, easy to navigate, but best of all, like I said, you can get anything. Tail lamp, motor oil, even new carpet, but you can also get bigger stuff like brake parts or engine control modules, or like I had the ignition motor on my car go out once. it's just the dumb little stuff that they end up getting you for the most, because they know, these dealerships know, you can't get it anywhere else. Well, rockauto.com has just about everything you could need. So check it out. Do me a favor, check it out. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all of the parts available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the car parts you will ever need. rockauto.com. Back here, finishing out our recap show of the Suns 109-108. Big win over the Dallas Mavericks. But I wanted to remind you guys first, if you have not already, check out Locked On Today. It's our best new show on the Locked On Podcast Network every single morning. Peter Bukowski bringing you not only the news and the headlines and the scores of the previous day, but also the biggest debate. It's actually nice. It replaces that some of that water cooler discussion, or for me, what we all used to mull over as we went to the arena and hung out and covered these games or waited for guys to get out of practice, all that stuff. It's nice. Peter gets guests on there and they just hash it out over whatever the big debate is. It was Matthew Stafford. Where's he going to end up? Earlier last week, it was will Tampa Bay actually have an advantage playing at home in the Super Bowl? There's a ton of fun stuff every day. So check out that show. I listen to it every morning. You should too. I wanted to introduce a couple of new daily recap segments to the show, or game recap segments to these recap shows, because the Bridges breakout watch, like, look, guys, we can't beat a dead horse. He's having an incredible season. He was a little quiet today offensively with the Stars doing the work, but there's only so much I can yam on about with regard to Mikal Bridges. So I wanted to start with some new ones. Also, the other one I go to is DeAndre Ayton free throws, and those have plummeted. So I'm it's too disappointing to talk about. Here are the two new ones, though. It's the Facundo Campazzo All-Stars. And what I mean by that is, for that first Denver game, all the way back in the first week of the season, think back to that game, we saw Campazzo be completely put in the blender by Chris Paul, almost like took it personally that the Nuggets were guarding him with this no-name international rookie who's in his 30s or whatever he is. And Chris Paul just went and scored like 6 or 8 straight points in that game and basically just played Campazzo off the court. Here was the latest addition. So we have our point guard, Campazzo. Here was the latest addition today. It was Willie Cauley-Stein. 14 minutes that Cauley-Stein played. 1 rebound, no blocks, no steals, 4 points, a -4 during those minutes in a 1-point game. So very literally could have decided things if the Mavs had had another option or had just avoided playing Cauley-Stein. Paul got the switch once and just crossed him over into the complete ground. The river Styx, he's just floating around. Willie Cauley-Stein is. He's passed, courtesy of a Chris Paul jumper. Then he was getting him on the lobs with Ayton. Basically, Willie Cauley-Stein can't defend a Chris Paul pick and roll. We learned that today. He was added to the Facundo Campazzo All-Star team. And I hope we get more of these, because, look, this guy's at his absolute peak. He missed 6 shots tonight. I think we will get our wings and forwards finished out here on this All-Star team. We might have to do an all Facundo Campazzo first, second, and third team, like all NBA, by the time this thing is said and done. But that's Willie Cauley-Stein. He's the center of the team for right now. He's on the first team. He could get bumped down. I mean, there was only 14 minutes. We could see Paul just completely eviscerate a real starting level player soon. They do play the Pistons, so maybe that'll be the revenge game, and we'll get an Isaiah Stewart or something like that in there as well, a Mason Plumlee action on that one. But the other recap segment I wanted to throw in, which is a little more serious and actually worth taking a look at before we close things out here, that is the backup guard carousel. And it's really a problem. I mean, just not even the fact that they don't have a guy. I sang the praises of Langston Galloway in that last segment, and I think he did a really good job, despite only, like, it's one of the Langston Galloway games where he didn't score or shoot, and he actually made an impact, which is really rare, or at least contrary to, like, the perception we have about him as a player. But what I mean by it's a problem is the fact that the Suns as a team haven't landed on somebody, and the fact that over two seasons now with Monty Williams, that third, fourth guard, mostly fourth guard spot has been, he just doesn't seem content to land on somebody even when guys are playing well. And that's, it's just, I don't think is a path towards success. And I get like the regular season, I don't have an issue with it now. And I don't think any of the players seem to be taking it the wrong way or personally. I think anyone who signed to this team, even Javon Carter who re-signed, understood that they were going to be in a competition for minutes. There's also the fact that Cam Payne is out right now, and he certainly earned his role, but now is off the bench. So they're trying to not only find stability in who's going to play that role, that fourth guard role, but now they're also trying to have to basically replace what Payne does as an initiator of the offense and just replace his minutes. So it's not an awesome time to look at it. And they did seem to have settled in when Payne was healthy to him and Carter being the backups. And they even had a pretty nice rotation where Payne would play with Booker and Carter would play with Paul. And there was some good stuff going. Maybe we go right back to that. But generally, it seems like Monty is very hesitant to settle with guys, even with more talent on the roster this year. So we've seen Etuan Moore get minutes lately. He's one of three tonight. Three assists, though, and did get a, it was a long two, his foot was on the line, which is like, even when he does something successful, it's mitigated a little, like two steps forward, one step back for each one, but he's looking more comfortable. And Monty has praised the way that he can set the offense up, you know, do something like throw an entry pass and get guys in the right spots, like that veteran nature, the fact that he has a little bit of experience playing point guard more than Galloway or Carter do, it's fine. But it's puzzling more so than anything Moore is doing that Abdel Nader suddenly is not playing a game right now, like, or a minute right now. He's a DNP CD tonight, didn't play. Same with Javon Carter, although that's been true for a while. So Booker comes back in and basically, whatever Nader was giving the team, Monty basically decided that with Booker back, they didn't need that so much anymore. They more needed Galloway's shooting and Moore's initiation, and so Nader goes to the bench. But I really don't think that that makes sense. I understand, like, they didn't stagger Paul and Booker tonight, so they needed some sort of playmaker on the floor. Moore was basically out there all the minutes that Booker wasn't, but personally, like, we saw what Frank Kaminsky can do as an initiator. Between Galloway, who's a smart, he's not just a shooter, he's a smart offensive player. He knows when to give the ball up and keep running off screens and doesn't force shots. Like, he can take a dribble handoff, take a pass off of a screen, and then dish it right back out if it's not there and keep the offense moving. I would say the same thing about Abdel Nader. Like, he's a pretty smart player. He doesn't make bad decisions on offense too often. So we saw that with those two guys out there and you know, mixing and matching some of the other, you know, Crowder and then maybe Cam Johnson or those types of lineups work. And I just don't think it's worth forcing the Moore minutes or forcing the Carter minutes. Like, give the minutes to Nader. He earned them, and now he's off the floor. And just overall, I think as we get through this season, like, Monty just needs to land on somebody. That's, it can't be good for the mindset that even when you play well the way Nader has, that it's not going to pay off in terms of solidifying a spot for you in the rotation. Same with Galloway. He played so well for the first 2-3 weeks of the season and then just lost his rotation spot. And I know there were like defensive mistakes. He's a smaller player. You know, he doesn't necessarily always provide much more than shooting, but he did exactly what he was asked on offense for a while and then just lost it. You know, Carter, I think it's fair. There was that game against Denver, the second one when Booker wasn't in. Carter had 5 threes in that game. He probably should have taken one of those, and he made two, but they were almost all bad shots. So that's at least you can draw the line there. But Moore, I'm not exactly positive what he's done to earn his playing time that other guys can't do, or that is enough to overcome his shortcomings, which is that he's not making any shots right now, and defensively, You know, without other great players on the floor with him, he's not really like a difference maker. So when you're not rewarding a guy like Nader or Galloway over the course of a season, I just think that that can turn into a problem. So something to watch. And as it inevitably fluctuates more, hopefully campaign can recover from this foot sprain quickly and he can get back to doing what he was doing. As it inevitably fluctuates, I will start to incorporate this into the last segment, the backup guard carousel, because it is pretty interesting and I think tells us a lot about how Monty sees the team, what they need moment to moment or game to game. And I also think it's one of the obvious things to kind of pick nits with him on as far as his rotation and coaching decisions about lineups and things like that. Because it's been, you know, whether it was Tyler Johnson versus Elia Kobo versus Ty Jerome last year or this group now in 2021, it's just a complete crapshoot night to night about who's going to play. And I don't think it worked well for him last year, and it doesn't seem to be doing anybody any favors right now. So keep an eye on that. I will do my best to do so as well. But guys, this shot that Booker hit will live in infamy. Added to the list, the Memphis shot. I mean, the bubble shot against the Clippers is clearly the best one, in my personal opinion. But the Memphis shot from early last season was incredible as well. And then now this other one. I think you could even add the Mavs, the shot against the Mavs on opening night this year as another really great one. It was under a minute. It might not have been within the last, 10 seconds or so, but man, does he have a lot. At me, at Locked On PHX Suns, tell me your favorite Devin Booker game winner, at Brendan Clean 14, if you prefer. Tell me which was the best. Tell me which one you liked the most. Mike V. Hill put out a Twitter video of all of the game-winning or clutch shots overall that Booker has hit over the course of his career, and it was awesome to relive some of the really early ones. Those might have a place in your heart if you watch this guy from the very beginning, just the way he developed as a confident, just assured clutch scorer to the guy that he is now. The way that it developed even from his rookie season. So those were fun. Maybe that's one of yours. Again, at Locked On PHX Suns, tell me your favorite Devin Booker game winner. But this should give the Suns plenty of momentum as they develop their team, get healthier. Hopefully, Šarić should be coming back soon. Booker is back, and this rotation is looking like it's supposed to. Pretty great on both ends of the floor, beating good teams again. Beating Dallas twice and a healthy Dallas team is nothing to bat an eye at. So I will be here once more with you guys on Wednesday, hopefully with a guest, maybe a mailbag, we shall see. And another game on Wednesday against the Pelicans on national TV. So get excited. Things are going well.